Log Talk Radio. Charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see
you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, girl, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing
voice and sing. Till I didn't ever ring. Ring with the harp of peace. Oh, let our rejoices run high. Love as Georgia.
Working for someone else. Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. You know, you hit up against who while working for who? Well, we are working for the man. He said, Dorothy, if you're crazy, well, we are employed 50% among our black folks, our black youth. But you know, there's always a work. I tell everybody all the time, poverty is interesting. Folks say how unemployed our community is, how much poverty is. But there's money in poverty because a lot of people are making money off of for poverty. You know, they put in grants, they do this, they do that. And some folks just call them poverty pimps because the money never trickle down to those who it's supposed to go down to. And that's one of the dangers. So a lot of folks make money. Other folks come up with all kinds of studies and they make money. And then you have universities making money. Then you have all kinds of stuff. The prison, everybody, when you look at our schools, they're not educated, but they're passing our contracts. Passing our contracts, people making money. Jail system, those little old bad, no good at young black men messing with that dope. Hey, making money off of them, all the contracts. You got to look at all these institutions who make contracts, and then you'll see that all the contracts are recycled year after year, generation after generation, to their people to keep on keeping their foot on our necks. And then we somehow think of something else. So just understand that there is a way, and there's a lot of stuff going on. I saw this Hernandez, the football player who killed a young black man. Kind of interesting. I think he's supposed to have killed somebody else, but they haven't issued a warrant for him yet. And I was watching one of the talk shows this morning early, wanted to see it, one of the cable talk shows, and this black commentator was saying, and they asked him, so why is it that so many of these athletes end up in trouble, or they end up things going on with them? And he said, you know, a lot of them, when they're in the ring, when they're in the field, they got a referee to blow a whistle when they foul. But when they get out in public, they don't have anybody to blow a whistle when they foul. And a lot of them have gang ties, and they come in and they bring that same attitude to the game. And that really put something on my mind and gave me something to think about. And that's real. Won't you tell me the visual stuff that you've seen? I told you everything is visual. Quite a few things happen in our community, a lot of shooting stuff that was not good, but there's also a lot of things happening in other communities that you don't remember because you don't get that visual look of it.
Everybody,
because the moment it happened, everybody's mentally ill.
Anytime anybody do anything in another community, they're mentally ill. When they do it in our community, it's all right. It's all right to do it in our community, it's all right. But it's not all right, you know. But then they put it all over the paper and all over everywhere. I've seen so much in the paper. So you began to see that. You ride around the city, and I tell you to ride around. Don't stay in your own community. I'm just so hurt when I see little children walking past vacant lots and different dirtiness, different things that you wouldn't even expect in other communities. We didn't even expect that in other communities. Never at all. They wouldn't even accept it. I saw one little neighborhood with one little block. Half of the houses on the block was nice, and down the street it was a city vacant lot. Weeds taller than me. A lot of folks just would not have accepted that, nor would they taken that. It's a visual thing. And then you walk in these same communities, and stuff that you run from, you see other folks running too. And you're looking, somebody says, oh, my neighbor's white, my neighbor's this, my neighbor. Yeah, of course, because they understand black gold. You don't understand. And I don't know, I'm just going to have kind of open conversation about our community this morning in terms of where we have to go and what we need to do here. I'm not just talking, y'all, because this stuff is, you know, I was riding down Marquette Park with my granddaughter yesterday. And I said to her, you know what that is? She said, that's Marquette Park. You see over there, that's the lagoon where they burn our cars and all of that with Dr. King. We had marches. The blacks couldn't come west of Racine. She said, what? And then to look at how it looked over there, it really looks all just abandoned and all. And I showed her some other parks. I said, you know, we had control of all of the parks. All of the parks in our community. The parks are just wonderful to go think. All of the parks in our community, you think about the major parks, Jackson Park, Washington Park, Garfield Park, Marquette Park, all of the parks you can think of. You can walk to the lake, all of the things, the transportation. And we got tricked out of all of the stuff. Even when you go to the west side, we just kind of got tricked out of, you know, even when you go the near west side, where all those black homes and stuff was taken away. Just kind of trick y'all. So we got to do, I'm not just for talking and just doing something. What I want to talk about today, and you can talk about those things too. Do you think the blacks today really don't understand racism? Or have they bought into the fact that there's no racism? I talked about my grandson, my oldest grandson, talking that stuff. I had to really kind of, you know, it's a thought that they're talking, that they're kicking. Because everything that's happening to us, yeah, most 90% of it is racism. Y'all can say it's not, it's our fault, baloney. I'm not buying that. I'm not just not going to buy it. Because you said other people got businesses. I was talking to one of my friends out of the city yesterday. And I'm going to have him on soon, Professor Small. We were discussing the black community. Detroit, he just got back from Detroit, and he was talking about what some of the brothers and sisters were talking about. Yeah, but, you know, all the resources left the community. All of them in Detroit. When Coleman Young died, they really left. And when Detroit was booming, everybody was working, and they was all moving to the suburb, and they took all of the resources of Detroit out of the suburb. But if you've been to Detroit recently, when you go from downtown working your way back, you'll see new houses and stuff being built. And when you look at Grand River and all those places over there, you will see those are really good places over there, but you have to tear it down to make us run, make us feel bad. And then all the resources come. You look at Gary, you look at Detroit, and now you look at the country. They said them black folks in charge of them, and it's going down the pot. When you really have to look at the resource question of what's happening in our community. Well, all these other folks can do it, yes, because all of these folks get to use all of your tax dollars to help build their business. TIF, tax increment finance. The reason you have a tax increment finance in your community is to build the blighted community, to rebuild those communities, to make them viable. When you put a TIF in place, it is for that. I think I put together 21 TIFs, and I had them all touching each other to make the Third Ward one of the richest TIF districts it was. It was one of them. I don't know where the money is now. But to begin to build, that's how we was able to build those houses and do some other things and begin to move forward. But it's to build the blighted community. You designate a redevelopment area, and you build that. I'm going to take a look at all of the redevelopment areas that we have put in place to see that they're changing, because they're changing what they're doing, but to see whether or not those redevelopment areas are really developing like they're supposed to. Redevelopment really nothing. We did a redevelopment, and we said this area is for blacks and black culture, black business, black this. And that's just another way of saying urban, you know, urban renewal, but it was for the first time for black people. They said, oh, my God, and they do it to us all the time. So when you go into our community, you see blight and you run. But you see a lot of little white girls walking their dogs. But I found out in our community, see, y'all be talking about the brown illegal, all that. But you got a lot of white immigrants who come in because their country have fallen down like Detroit and all the rest of them, but they're not talking about it. So they've come in, and they're buying buildings in our community. They're living there right there on 44th and Vincent. A Polish man bought a building and moved, brought all them folks in there and moved them up in there. And all around, that's right around the corner for me, all around there, by the buildings, they move the people in, and they stay there. And you don't pay attention. You assume because a person's skin is white, they're legal. And you talk about, oh, all them old illegals, and you think they're Latin, Latinas, or Hispanics or something. It's really, you have a lot of other folks, too. And as they repopulate. Now, Bush said the other day that they want those people to come because other people come because the Hispanic, Latino, which I... Hispanic is a culture, not a language, because they're fertile. I mean, don't y'all take that lightly? They tell you, don't have no babies. And most black folks have joined in with that zero population. And they tell the folks, have babies, and we got benefits for you. We're going to make sure that you get all the benefits this country have to offer to make sure you and your babies do not starve. We bring you out of the shadow. And we make sure that you got your education, you got all the other stuff. We force black people back into the shadows. We put you in jail. When we put you in jail, You come out, you cannot enjoy any of the benefits that the government has to offer. Thank you, Mr. Bill Clinton. Three strikes, you out. You out. Can't have nothing. One for one replacement. Oh, you can't have that. You can't have vouchers. You can't have subsidized housing. We think all those things are dirty words. Everybody's using those things, and everybody who built buildings in this country have had subsidy. Culturally, they have their theaters. They have their food. We said don't go to the black restaurants. And man, you, I'm cautious about what I eat. Don't go to the black restaurants because those restaurants are greasy, and it makes your cholesterol go up. But you go to a Chinese restaurant, you go to a Mexican restaurant, they got more grease than the black restaurant. At least you got collard greens and cornbread. You know, so it's kind of our dollars are important. Our communities are important. I just don't know how we get out of this trick bag. Now, one other thing. So this is kind of a loose, open forum today because I want to hear how, you know, all of wherever you are in this country, just talk about your community right now. And don't get so disgusted. Don't get so disgusted about your community that you give up. I once again call on all the churches, wherever you are, with all these churches, three churches in one block, have a meeting and straighten and clean that block up, join sale and clean up those blocks. Even though the city's not doing it, they got weed cutters, and they're not doing it. You call and say, we want you to come cut this block, and we're going to be out here with some bags. Give us some bags, and we're going to pick it up, clean it up. The summer, Wednesday was the last day of school for elementary. Monday's the last day of school for high school children, students. Are you putting things in place for those children? It is a shame before God for you to open your doors on Sunday and shout and go all across the pulpit and lay hands on people and collect your tithes and then go on somewhere, go home Monday through Saturday. That's not spirituality. That's religion. Churches was built for the widowers and the children. And right now the children need your help. Calling on all the churches, wherever you are in this country, in these black communities, they get up and do something. The schools, you can teach schools, you can teach math, you can have history classes, and you can have technology. Don't always you got to wait for somebody to give, you know, you got to get up and then you still demand that you have what you have. We cannot. Every day we wake up, we said a shooting on all in the community. The other day we had shooting. We also had shooting in Little Village. The only face you saw was a black face. It's the visual stuff. We have to stop that, too. We got to become Nehemiah, like Father Flager, telling folks to get in the community and walk around. That's what Nehemiah did when he rebuilt the wall. He came out. When you shine a light on folks, roaches scatter. And, yes, we got some bad folks in our community. We got some good folks. And we got to be able to separate the chef, the wheat from the chef. Now, I saw Justin Bieber's mother on television yesterday on Andy Cooper Live show. And she was talking about how she used to do drugs and how she was just doing everything, hanging out with everything, even tried to kill herself. And she just didn't care. And not, you know, it's interesting because they're from Canada. Don't forget that now. Immigrants. And she said she was laying up in the hospital bed, had really messed up herself once, and she had a spiritual experience. Kind of began to pull herself together. Then she got judged, and then she was talking about how they lived and what they've done and what they moved on to. And they was just, they was just really hugging her and talking about single mothers and how you have to keep going, and now she's working with them. But what do? You curse our children from the time they're in their mother's stomach until the time they go to jail. And there's no other community that does their future like that. The question to you is, what are we going to do for our community, and what are we going to do for our future? Do we have one? Can we have one? And are you willing to protect and to die for the future of our community? And do you believe that anybody in this country is fighting for the descendants of enslaved Africans in America? Do you believe that? And do you believe our needs are being addressed and being met? Or do you think that black folks are being dormant right now? We're in dormant. We're going to be dormant until President Barack Obama get out of office. Then we come out of dormant and we don't have nothing. Hey, you're listening to Talk of Chicago 69 at WVON. This is Coffee, Tea, and a Conversation with me, Dorothy Wright Tillman. We are streaming live on www.wvon.com. Our number is 773-591-1690. We're on Facebook, group Facebook. We're on Black Planet, and I guess we're on Blog Talk now. I thought Ebony wasn't coming in, but she made it in. I thought she was halfway to Indianapolis. Thought it was just me and you, Courtney, but I see she done made it up in here. And so we're going to really have a family talk here. It's our community. It's our place. It's our base. We cannot allow this to happen. And I'm going to say it until I just close my eyes, and I do have faith in our young people. Get your coffee, get your tea, and come on back and talk to me. I'll be right back.
Hi, Cliff Kelly here. I will be broadcasting live from Chicago State University on Wednesday, June 26th, from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. to kick off this year's Jazz in the Grass, the Southside's premier outdoor jazz festival. Bring your lawn chairs and enjoy the smooth sounds of Tracy Smith and Avon Hightower and Full Circle. The show starts every Wednesday at 6 p.m. and it's free. There's nothing better than Jazz in the Grass at Chicago State.
The fastest growing neighborhood festival in Chicago is coming Saturday, July 27th at Lorraine Dixon Park, 87th and Dolphin. It's a taste of WVON. Last year, nearly 8,000 people attended our celebration. To take advantage of our customized food and retail vendor opportunities, call our special Taste of WVON hotline at 773-336-3435. 773-336-3435. Or visit WVON.com and click the Taste banner. It's a day of food, fun, and excitement for the entire family. The Taste of WVON, Saturday, July 27th at Lorraine Dixon Park. More details coming up. We're your celebration station, WVON.
Hi, this is Cornell West.
And I'm Tavis Smiley.
And we're pleased to be heard once again in the great city of Chicago.
And better yet, this signal spills over into my home state of Indiana. So I guess we'll have to get Mama a new aerial for her roof in Kokomo.
Oh, that's so nice. We want you to join us for unique conversations and perspectives as we keep the focus on the least of these.
That's Smiley and West today at 11 right here on WVON, the talk of Chicago, 1690 AM.
Tune in to Another Perspective with Dr. Leon Finney every Saturday from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on WVON and get a fresh new point of view. You can be more connected with Another Perspective.
Another Perspective. Another Perspective. Another Perspective. Another Perspective.
Hi, this is Teresa Deer, host of Let's Get to Work, heard Saturdays from 8 a.m. to 9:30. America is on the road to recovery, bringing new jobs and new opportunities. Join us as we explore ways to help you get the job you want, keep the job you have, and secure the job that's waiting for you. Join us Saturdays, 8 a.m. to 9:30, as we empower, enable, and equip you with the information you need to get the job you want. Let's Get to Work, heard exclusively on the Talk of Chicago, WVON.
Oh, hi, Jessica.
Hi, Mrs. Johnson. Is Megan there?
Sure. Follow me. The kids are in the kitchen making sandwiches.
Hey, Julie.
Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Megan. Hey, Megan.
Yeah?
You're a total freak. God, you're ugly. And dumb. Oh, and your makeup makes you look like a tramp.
Oh, my God.
Tommy Morris told me you guys made out. Everybody knows. The whole school knows. He said your breath smelled like garbage, and he almost puked. He says you're the most desperate girl he knows. And that dress is totally hideous. You look like a big fat clown. Disgusting. Oh, and by the way, nice zit.
If you wouldn't say it in person, why say it online? Delete cyberbullying. Don't write it, don't forward it. For more information, visit ncpc.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, Crime Prevention Coalition of America, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
There are all sorts of excuses for not saving energy. It's only one lamp.
It's
just one TV. It's like all the way in the other room. What difference will it make if I turn things off when I'm done with them or not? If we switch to energy-saving light bulbs, or put in a programmable thermostat,
how much energy and money could it possibly save?
Sometimes I wonder if we could be more efficient with the energy we have now
and tuck away more resources for later. You know, it just never hurts to plan more for the future. My name is
Colin, and I'm going to get started today.
We can all help save more energy for tomorrow. What's your excuse? For more energy-saving tips that also save money, visit loseyourexcuse.gov/parents. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy, the Ad Council, and this station.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WBON.
Say it loud. Can't quit till we get our share. Can't quit, y'all. Y'all might not understand the definition of share. One of my friends said, we got to boycott. The boycott what? It's got to be a victory. It's got to be one thing that we do. I tell you, what is our share? Our share of our tax dollars and our tax return for our community. Our share of education, when the Board of Education said that they got to straighten out the board and financially and all that, their first priority is supposed to be the education of our children. And I think I don't think anybody else would allow this to happen to their children. But this goes all the way to slavery. Because the whole discussion of slavery have not taken place in the black community, we accept too much. And we blame ourselves for everything. And then everybody else come and get all your tax dollars, get all set up. What, Uno got $98 million plus $25 million more? They said, we're not moving our kids. We're going to build our new schools. And they got science lab and soccer field because they know you got to have science, you got to have music. You got to have sports, you know. You got to have all these things to be a character, art, and culture. And that's what they're doing. And they got the money to do it. We can't do that. We can't ask for that. And folks give you excuses as to why not. It's our tax dollars, y'all. Our tax dollars at work that help build businesses. Folks come over here, America let them get tax-free for a little while as they set up businesses in our community. So that's how this government's set up. It's a recycle. If you pay into taxes, taxes will come back and redo your community. If you want to set a business up like we were trying to do, then you go get this, you build this, and you do that, and we still put our money. But in spite of all that, we're going to have to make sure that we rebuild our community, y'all. We must do this. We must save our children once again. And thank everybody who have come out to see the AMFC Haven. This is the show today. Doors open at 6. The show is at 7. Doors open tomorrow at 4 Sunday, and the show is at 5. We only have 2 shows next week, and it's over. This is a very good show, and I think some of the people are going to be on push this morning. So let me go to the phone, y'all. This phone is lit up, so I'm going to go to the phone so that I can get through and get it out of the way. Good morning, Maceo, so I can open. How you doing?
I'm great. Good morning, Alderman Tillman. It was great seeing you last night.
Oh, so good to see you.
Oh, wow. Let me just say to your listening audience, the show, the entire experience, is superlative, and that starts even before the show starts. Going into the theater, into the cultural center, you know, you have the young teenage boys greeting you at the door. I mean, very respectful, very mannerable, showing you to your seats. And then the show itself, I mean, it is fantastic. I mean, you have, you know, the singing, you know, the acting by the cast, you know,
that
dancing.
Band, isn't that band tight?
Oh, the band. Oh, my gosh. Oh, wow. I mean, and the set, you know, itself. I mean, it
that
takes
set was designed by Brother Harold. And we get people from the community to design and to work with young people to build a set. That was a young black man. I think a young black man in his early 20s built that set.
Oh, I mean, and it's very, very reminiscent of that era, you know, in terms of depicting that era. And the dancing, I mean, it's just phenomenal. And you know, and as we know as a people, you know, all the dances of that era, the Charleston, the Lindy Hop.
the Lindy Hop.
the Foxtrot were all created by us.
Yes.
And the music of that musical, Ain't Misbehaving, by one of the greatest geniuses on this earth, great Thomas Wright Fats Waller, and then his collaborators, his lyricists, the great Andre Minotaria, Raza Fencariafo, Andy Razolf.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and when you learn about these two giants' history, about their biographies, Andy Razolf's grandfather, maternal grandfather, was an enslaved African. He went on in Missouri. He went on and got his degree. He opened a law practice, two newspapers in Kansas, and then his maternal grandfather was the nephew of the queen in Madagascar. So when Andy Razolf never accepted second-class citizenship, and he battled against white racism, and in his song, the song
Black and Blue. I want you to call me back another day. My board is lit up.
Okay,
because I really want you to tell them about the historical perspective. This Black and Blue, one of the songs that's in the show.
Oh, absolutely. And I just wanted to close with, you know, today is Catherine Mary Dunham's birthday, one of the greatest dancers ever, born here in Chicago on June 22nd, 1909. And she was, a preeminent dancer, preeminent choreographer, director, anthropologist, mambo priest, voodoo priest, priestess. But the show, please, ladies and gentlemen, do yourself a favor.
And you said you were going to come back and see another because we got our last two. We got to come back. It's a great show.
Oh, it is.
I would say you've been to all of our shows. It's one of the best, isn't it?
Oh, it surpasses the shows that you would see downtown, and this is right in the community, and it's done by Black African-American singers, dancers, musicians.
You're taking control of our culture, basically. I got to go.
Okay.
My board is lit up. There's no line open, and I got to open up some lines. Thank
all right.
you. Okay.
You're welcome.
Thank
love you.
You too. Uh-huh. Good morning, William, from the West Side.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right quick, Dorothea. Yeah, you just showcased some of the freak racism and discrimination. You put on a good showcase. Look, let me ask you this question. I just want to talk, and let me finish talking, I'll leave, and you can come in afterwards. What's wrong? We need help, obviously. What's wrong with venting to our brothers and sisters that have finances to help ascertain the resources that we need in the community, like our sports figures, our Black entertainers? Look, let me tell you. I don't have to tell you. Let me comment. We are obligated through our ancestry. We are. I don't care where you sit in this world. If you're Black, you're obligated to your Black community and your Black brothers. So what's wrong with venting out and reaching out to those brothers who have?
Well, you know what, William? One of the things that Dr. King said that I've been to the mountaintop, and I looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I might not get there with you, but we as a people will get to the promised land. People thought he was talking about pie in the sky. Dr. King and his knowing how he was, because, you know, he was like a father to me. I was very close. And I can see him in his mind. He never thought that we would open these doors up and that Black folks who reap the benefits would not do like other ethnic groups. Or because we have not addressed slavery, when Blacks get anything, they run away from a community rather than to it. Now, if all of these folks, and they owe it to us because, first of all, they owe it to the Black community because, number one, if the blood had not been shed, half of them still would not be playing basketball, football, and all those things and making those top dollars. The business folks would not have what they have. And then those who began, they always start on the backs of Black folks, whether it's Oprah, whether it's Tyler Perry, whoever it is. But these people who get money then began to take the Black community and treat it like some kind of social welfare, like you know, and they run away from the community. I don't know what to do about that. I know that they have a responsibility.
Well, we need to organize. We got to organize and come at that. That's what we have to do about that because, look, we are against a seriously powerful enemy.
Well, that's and they're scared. Let me tell you something. They're scared if they come and help the Black community. It's like you see the charity. They'll give a little bit to Black folks. They said charity began at home and spread abroad. And then you'll see their name.
$25 or $30 million or whatever it was to study some nonsense.
And by the way,
and
our own people, will give more money to someone else to help other communities. It's just like if they get a white Cadillac, a white woman, a white man, and keep moving. Anything that's Black, they'll run
for it. The point is, Dorothy, I love your courage. We need to step forward with that courage as one unified group. We have to, first of all, get ourselves together, make sure that we all understand our obligation unto one another. I don't care where you set that in the spectrum. If you're black, you're obligated, and we must give
they
back.
They got a role of responsibility. Thank you, like everybody else. The Jewish community got a book, and they said if your name ain't in the book, they come after you. The Jews United Fund, all of them said, your name better be in this book. When you give, you build back. If you imagine what Oprah should have just came and just took a whole community, a little area, and built that community up, you live forever. You know, you live forever. But what happens, they have, these sports folks have white agents. These recording artists have white agents now, these business folks. And what do they say? They say, you know, you better stay away from them. It's like Mandela. Winnie fought very hard to get Mandela out of jail. I know a lot of us worked with him to get him out, worked with her to get him out. When Mandela got out, the first thing they did was took him from Soweto, that group who had been fighting for him and said he was not safe, and they moved him to a white suburb. Then they separated him from his black wife who had been really working so hard, and then they persecuted her. They said that she hurt a little boy, and they had to really make her, they had to persecute her for that, but they never once made those whites who killed millions of blacks from Angola and other places, and never brought them to a truth serum. So, you know, come out of there. You better come out of Soweto, those folks who have died for you and fought for you, and you need to move for those to us who really have kept you in bondage. So, you know, is really something. Miss Huntington, how you doing?
Good morning, Alderman Tillman. I am black and proud. But
all right.
Today I feel very hurt. I heard yesterday on the television where the educators are asking parents to pay $500 to have a sixth class at Whitney Young, and they.
I don't understand that. They had excellent. Now, what educator?
Mrs. Kenner, the principal, and the.
$500 for what now? Because they got tax dollars.
$500 in order for the seniors to have a sixth class because their budget has been torn.
I don't understand. You missed me. They want each do the.
$500.
Wait, you got a clue. $500 per person?
Per person to have the seniors have a sixth class that they need in order to graduate. Because
the senior high school, in order for the seniors to graduate.
This is Whitney Young High School. And I think Lakeview asked the same thing. And somebody else was asking for toilet tissue. I think it is horrible that I don't know what has happened to the money. But we need to follow the money and get our tax dollars and open our own school like our forefathers did in 1800.
And while we're doing that, we got to force them to do what they got to do. You know, it's interesting.
That's right.
It's interesting, Ms. Huntington, because when you look at all of the contracts that come through the schools, our people don't have those too many of those contracts. I look at the lunch program. They bringing all that sodium into these schools and
That's
all these
correct.
Folks. You don't know where they're cooking their food at, and they're bringing them food in. I got to look into that. We'll talk about it more next week. Thank you.
And they need to bring those lunch managers back and let them cook the food in the schools.
Yeah.
And I will tell you that as a retired educator, I used to look at the resources of the principals for the late Mary Broomfield, and we had to compare and get them up to par.
Okay.
And I think that we need to do that now and see what's happening with our resources.
Well, I'm going to see about that. Other, that's something. Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. Hello, Stan. How you doing?
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. This board is lit up. I'm trying to tell you.
Okay.
Yes.
I want to know why black people claim the word nigger.
What you mean they claim it?
They claim it because they get too angry over it, and it's not. It's enough.
Well, because black folks got upset with Paula because and all the other folks because you got to understand if you understand your history. I don't know about you, how much you've studied.
Well, yeah, but I was trying to say something about it.
Okay, go on.
And now that they are, it's not a word pertaining to race. It's a behavior.
Well, I don't know. When you look at slavery, we can say that. They said it later on. But first it was Negron, and then it went on to something else. And when you look at from the time of the transatlantic slaves coming through and Jim Crow and all, they said, let's go out and lynch us a nigger. Let's go out and barbecue us a nigger. If you look at all the history.
Oh, that's what they
no, wait, when they when you look at the when you look at different postcards, if you look at all the stuff and historically, when they used to have barbecues, and that's why I don't say barbecue. You see black folks, we're going to barbecue us a nigger today. We're going to go hang us a nigger in the tree.
No.
So, wait, Stanley. That word was always associated with pain in the black community and racism in the black community by the white folks.
Okay, I was trying to explain the word. But
I heard what you said, but you want to know why you said that it ain't necessarily us. You said it was a behavior.
I shouldn't have. Yeah, it is.
Well, it might be a behavior, Mr. Stanley. But
that word is over 1,000 years old.
Okay, Mr. Stanley, thank you. Mr. Stanley, the more we claim, when you look at all the stuff that was done to us under that word, you're no good at nigger, you slop, 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 we're going to lynch this, we're going to do that. And that's why black folks start reporting it, repeating it. When they would get mad, they would say, you old nigger, because we repeated whatever the master said. But they have lynched folks in that name. Well, let's go get this nigger, Emmett Till, who said he whistled at a white woman. Hey, nigger, I mean, and I don't say the N-word, this word nigger, that's what they said. I mean, we have to sugarcoat everything else. And it's interesting, we can't talk about our pain, we got to walk away from it, and we can't get reparation for it, but every day we got to hear about the Holocaust and anybody else who had a problem, you know, and our people went over there and they fought Hitler, and they fought against all of that was going on. But you can hear about all of this stuff, and those people said never no more, and they're not going to let it die. We should say never no more either, but the problem is, this country, you look at all the commentaries, it's almost a shame. I dare you to talk about the vestiges of slavery. I dare you to talk about racism. That's over with. Bull, bull, bull. It is not over with. It's not over with, I tell you. Okay. Reverend, who is Janice, how you doing?
How you doing, Ms. Tillman? I got two quick things to say. When Michael Jackson said, Jew me.
Oh, they came after
him. He had to cut that record off, and they were right.
That's right.
Yes. Let me tell you, I went to Bobby Rush's office out here in the South Suburbs. I'm from the Robbins area.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have one black working in that office. Not one.
Did you call him?
This question. Are we too dumb to answer a phone?
Did you call the congressman in Acton?
I will be calling him in his office. I was so upset. My blood pressure went up.
Well, you should call him because I'm kind of surprised, and I wouldn't expect that to be with Bobby. You need to call him.
I was shocked. I was not shocked.
Well, that doesn't sound like the Bobby.
I asked the white man how many blacks work for him. He said 15. The office was too small for 15 people. So I asked him.
But now, wait, now, if he got 15, that means that he have other blacks in other offices, too. We need to just find out. I think you should call the congressman and find out just what's going on, because that doesn't sound like Congressman Rush.
Okay, let me go back to this school situation. We sat there year after year after year with these schools failing and did nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And they let those schools fail so they could do what they do now, closing up all these schools.
Well, they took out all of our stuff, our music, our art, our athletic. I mean, a child, these other schools learn how to swim. They learn all kind of stuff. And we have to really look at what are we putting in these schools of technology, how are we bringing them up. Some of my parents, they didn't know they get them send their kids to school and expect the children to get educated.
And Ms. Tillman, sometimes count the number of weaves when you ride public transportation. And we look like the tattoo lady at the tattoo shop. That's a lot of money being spent with other people who aren't our own.
Ooh, baby, I can't stand this stuff. I don't say that. Folks, they have this stuff all on their neck. I got one grandchild that did this stuff like that. I was so upset when he came back from college. And I told him, I said, you know, they used to brand us when we were in slavery. Now they don't have to worry.
I have a nephew that did. One did and one did.
Yeah.
And you know what, Ms. Tillman? It's like everything that goes off. And I'd like to say something about Kanye West. Kanye West, I remember Haki Makabutu was talking about how his mother raised him.
Uh-huh.
I know young men who didn't have a mother that was in college. But
right.
You know what? They work every day in the community. Mm-hmm. Kanye West had nothing but a satchel plate for all these designers.
Yeah,
you're talking about President Bush, take a look in the mirror at yourself.
Yeah,
that's
I remember
with
Kanye.
Our leadership.
Right. Okay.
With our people. That's all I have to say. And I'm not against him for having a baby with
No. It's bad imagery. All I've known Kanye since he was a kid. He used to come to my basement with my daughter and rap because his mother thought the rap music is kind of out.
Yeah, but all.
But that's absolutely correct. It's the imagery. It's the imagery. When you're black, something is wrong. Thank you, Janice. It's the imagery. That's what it is. It's the imagery. It's really not good. Reverend Weatherspoon, how you doing?
God bless you.
You too, Reverend Weatherspoon.
Yeah, what we have to do is deal more with our neighbor and our community, daughter. I think if we don't know our neighbor, we need restoration with one of our neighbor, restoration economics.
Yeah, we got to get out here and walk and talk. We just got to get mad. Is y'all mad? We got to get mad and fight back. We in a look, Reverend Musboom, they got us in like a holding pattern. We just kind of laid back waiting for. You know, when the president get out, then it's going to be all over. I mean, we got to get out of that holding pattern. Thank you so much. Thank you. Minister Plump, how you doing this morning? Good morning. Okay, I guess he gone. Okay. Is it because I'm black next? Okay, Sister Sakia?
Good morning, Alderman Tillman.
Good morning.
I want to talk about the poor services that our communities get, and I want to talk about the areas in the black community that gave out those link cards this week for people who were flooded.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know people that went to all of those sites and would call me back from time to time letting me know how chaotic it was, how unorganized.
And that's on purpose, too, so they can make it look like we are begging.
Oh,
when they did the white community like that, they went and they were so orderly and they gave their money.
It's visual.
Never
would have happened.
Uh-huh.
See, what they could have done, sister, they could have brought in the Red Cross volunteers. They could have brought in the Vista volunteers.
No, Zakiya. They got to make the imagery look bad.
Absolutely. And that's what I'm saying. Now, they had a site in Skokie, and I hope some of your callers are listening that might have went out there. I don't believe they had all of that chaos.
Oh, they didn't. It's the imagery, Zakiya. It's the imagery.
I know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So we get poor service across the board, and each and every person that went and had bad experiences should call their alderman and state rep, because it was the state rep, And let me just say this. I called one of the aldermen's office, and you know what her assistant told me?
What?
They didn't even know the program had started until the next day.
I told you.
The 37th ward. It's Emma Mitz ward. That's what the lady told me.
Well, I tell you, that's why all the elected speakers got to get together. They got to.
That's right. The people got to start really.
We
got to
get mad.
And demanding better.
I agree.
Come out and try the love. Get tickets now at www.festivaloflife.biz or call 312-427-0266. See you July 4th. Whoa, 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 yay!
See Luciano, Inner Circle, Sanchez, Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, Billy Branch, and over 50 other acts. Call 312-427-0266. Union Park, July 4th weekend.
Have you suffered an injury on the job? Back pain keeping you up at night? Sprained your ankle playing basketball? My name's David Hanewald. I'm a physical therapist and facility manager from Accelerated Rehabilitation Centers in Chicago's Chatham neighborhood. Accelerated is an outpatient physical and occupational therapy center specializing in post-surgical ailments, workers' compensation rehab, and regular old aches and pains. Accelerated staff is proud to serve and be a part of the Chatham community. We are committed to returning its residents to better health. You can just ask former Chicago Alderman Dorothy Tillman.
I visited Accelerated because my doctor recommended physical therapy after I received knee surgery for a torn ligament. I was a little concerned, didn't know what to do, didn't really want to go, but after meeting David and the Accelerated staff, I was at ease. Everyone was so knowledgeable, thorough, and friendly. I would highly recommend Accelerated for anyone's physical therapy needs.
If you're interested in more information about Accelerated or would like to stop by for a free injury screen, please contact 877-97-REHAB or visit acceleratedrehab.com. Accelerated Rehabilitation Centers, putting patients first.
Realtors have expertise in land development and management, retail, industrial, office, and investment properties. They have the experience, knowledge, and savvy to help you achieve your business and investment real estate goals. Realtors also have the power of the National Association of Realtors behind them, working with legislators and regulators to support the key role commercial real estate plays in our national economy. Ask for a professional who understands your commercial business. Ask for a Realtor. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Hi, Cliff Kelly here. I will be broadcasting live from Chicago State University on Wednesday, June 26th, from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. to kick off this year's Jazz in the Grass, the Southside's premier outdoor jazz festival. Bring your lawn chairs and enjoy the smooth sounds of Tracy Smith and Avon Hightower, and Full Circle. The show starts every Wednesday at 6 p.m. and it's free. There's nothing better than jazz in the grass at Chicago State.
Live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON, you're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Conversation with Dorothy Tillman on Chicago's legendary WVON, the talk of Chicago, 1690 AM.
It doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind.
I've been to the mountaintop. It really doesn't matter with me now. I don't mind, because he's allowed me to go to the mountaintop and looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I might not get there with you, but we as a people will get to the promised land. I try to tell you every Saturday. The Dr. King meant that he could not see. He did not give up his life so that black folks could be better, so we can be better off and be treated like human beings. He did lay his life down for another man who's greater than me, the ultimate price, that once we opened the doors, everybody would come back and rebuild these communities. In 2013, we will not be talking about the same thing or worse. That's Dr. King, my leader, y'all. We're going to be all right. It's that time, y'all. It's that time. It's that time for these people around the country, wherever you are in the country, in the world, whatever your economic status is, it's time to take that deep breath, y'all. Black. Courtney, I only got Courtney back there even as ago. So we're going to do it one more time, y'all. Black. That feel good, y'all. Because black folks are afraid to say black. Then what is a minority? There's no such thing as a minority. I don't know what that is. We fought for equality. We didn't fight for minority. And then equality and desegregation. The language by outside communities came in and changed the language to desegregation, and they began to use this stuff. And that's my question to you today. People have used our struggle to stand on our backs and then turn around and say, that's old. I don't know what y'all are talking about, but everything that we fought for, they're taking advantage of it. And whenever it's fashionable to use it, and they tell us to sit down. Today we're talking about our community, y'all. we're really talking about, when you look at Detroit, you look at Gary, you look at your community, and you look at the community, poverty, as I said earlier. In poverty, somebody's getting rich when there's poverty. And it's the same people recycling the money, the same people recycling everything to their buddies, whether it's to get the contract for the prison, for the school, whether it's to get the contract to build the roads, whether it's to get this to do that. You look around our community, everybody's working but us. 50% of black young men are unemployed. That, come on, y'all. When you hear everybody's talking, they're saying, get prepared for your future. Your future's in education. Your future's in learning and understanding who you are and building your community. Then does that mean we have no future? You got to tell me about that, y'all. Are you willing to die and fight for the future of your children? You have people telling you, you curse black babies in their mama's stomach, not even giving them a chance that it was out. Maybe that's why you don't think you have to fight for them, because you don't think a black child worth, a child life is worth anything. Maybe within your own community you begin to think just like the oppressor, who have never thought a black child was worth anything. The oppressor never thought that black people was worth anything. Never. Never thought so. They always thought that a black man have no right that a white man is bound to respect. A black child don't need to be educated. Don't let a black child know that it came from their country. That's why they changed and switched up all of the people and put different languages together. That's why I always say black. You never hear all of you say African American. Maybe you want to say that. That's your business. We came from the continent of Africa. But no country do you know where you came from. You know, so it's like we don't revalue our children. That's our greatest assets is our children. They are our children. They are our greatest assets. No ethnic group will allow you to disrespect their woman and their children. They go to war. And we got a lot of men out here who have gone to war for this country for something less than that. Education of our children. We're not willing to go to war for that. The fact that 50% unemployment of our children. And the questions of the descendants of enslaved Africans in America, you talk about everybody but us. Put slavery behind you. The vestiges, don't tell me the vestiges of slavery is still lingering. What do you tell about everybody else? Stuff that's lingering. Whether it's the Japanese, whether it's the Jewish, whether it's anybody. We talk about the Poland War. We're still talking about Pulaski. But we were the only one that was told not to talk about this. Oh, this white kid's going to get a gun and kill up his whole household. And they start immediately start talking about the psychological effect of he's crazy, that he needs some help. They went and shot up a school last week. Psychological. Talk to us, you're thugs. You go to jail forever for a little gram or something. The other person, you see the whites coming in the community getting drugs and stuff, and they don't go anywhere. I give an example. During the Civil Rights Movement, a lot of blacks was involved in the Civil Rights Movement. Some of them did violence. Some of them was, I was in a nonviolent movement. Some was in another movement. Bobby Seale and Lala. Look, they put them in jail and destroyed their life and never allowed them to come back. Anybody that was white who got very militant during that movement, they coming back now, reinvent themselves. Blacks are never able to reinvent themselves in this country. If we allow them to destroy the very essence of our children, their minds, and their giving them a safe, secure place to live, we have destroyed ourselves as a race. We're going to be annihilated. And we will be annihilated because first we allow ourselves not to talk about what happened to us, to teach it to our children, to say never no more, and to demand. But you think, as a black person, the ultimate prize was the White House and that you don't have to say anything or do anything no more. So the black community is laying dormant while we're being wiped out. We're dormant, and it makes no sense. It's not about the person who's in the office. It's about their policy. That's what it's about. What is the policy that pertains to the black community or your community where you live? Oh, Dorothy Tillman, you're always talking that black stuff. Other folks, yes, we know. Everybody who have any sense, love themselves. To love yourself don't mean you hate anybody else. And ever since we've been in this struggle, guess what? There have always been other folks who've helped us. There have been folks who, once we decide to put this struggle in place, other folks have helped us. The Quakers doing the Underground Railroad. All through the movement, we've had other folks to work, to join in our struggle. But nobody can work with you if you don't have a movement and an action. I'm in pain because we are told not to talk about it. And you're sitting right here joining in, just like the morning after pill. Or the kids just going to just get a pill over the counter. Then you hear Bush saying that the other folks are fertile. That's not for nobody else. It's for our children. For our children to have unprotected sex or to have sex that don't have, and then you go get that pill because we don't want any other babies. We want to see your butt walking around with a dog. And I'm not opposed to animals, those who love animals. But you cannot substitute an animal for a child. You can't have a baby with an animal. An animal can't bring you water. They can be a companion to keep you where you be with them and calm you down. But you cannot substitute an animal for a child. And so many black people walk around with just my baby. And then you hear people now, they're talking more about adopt animals than they are talking about children. You need to see, will you adopt this child? Will you do this? Not anymore. You see, we need to do this for these children. They'll get upset if they close an animal school for fasten their wheel if they close a school for children. There's some kind of twisted with that. I'm not opposed to animals if y'all want animals. Anybody, I'm not opposed to that. Be clear on that. But you cannot substitute an animal for a child. God gave the difference between animals and man is that we can take our imagination and make them reality. And you got to be able to protect and respect the young person. We got to respect and protect our children. And if they don't have the right kind of education and understanding who they are, they're gone. And I recommend that you do read Michelle Alexander's book, The New Jim Crow. It tells you how Reagan, you know, give you a perspective how this war on drugs started under Reagan. It tells you this war on drugs started under Reagan. And when it started under Reagan, what did it do? It said, we got a war on drugs. And they said the drugs weren't as prevalent in our community world. Then they began to supplant drugs in there. And it went on and on. They began to put folks in jail for little or nothing and put everybody in this system. And once you go in this system, then you can't have anything. You come out. You got women, you have your mother and a child, you can't even live with them till they lose their houses. They're forcing black men and women into the shadow. And then some folks, I mean, everybody in jail is not guilty. Some folks are. And I don't condone those. If you're going to destroy our community and shoot up our community, hey, I don't condone that. That's not what I'm talking about. And that's not the majority of our community. There's a master plan in terms of how people move on us. And then when they went on from that, don't forget Clinton that y'all love. One-for-one replacement housing, public housing. And well, the public housing wasn't made for folks to stay there forever. Oh, no, the government, we giving public housing all over the world. We paying more money than that. Your tax dollars going all over the world to hold folks up. And then I remember if Gutierrez and some of them came in, and they snatched up. And I talked about that during that time. They snatched up all the housing vouchers and the Section 8s and took them to their community. Now, we don't need that. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You need a child need to know that he or she can wake up and they can live and they can be in a very comfortable place. And that child and those children, they can wake up and know that their communities are safe and clean. And the way we're going to stop some of this mess is you men who went to war got to stand up and go to war here. Usually, when a killing happened, and these women have to stop letting their babies go out with these boys if they know these boys is hooked up with something. Oh, that child gone usually at random because they've been hanging out with somebody else. So what we're doing here today, I need your help to tell me, what do we need to do here? And why are we allowing somebody to really, just really, mess with us like that, I tell you. D from the West Side.
Sister Dorothy.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, God is still on the throne.
Always.
You know what? We, as a people, we've fallen all the way in love with our enemy and our haters. We've fallen in love with them and their wicked ways. They are always plotting and planning. They had planned 1 year ago to try to ship us back to Africa. And when that didn't work, they came up with another plan. Now, right now, our children in 2013 need to be told the truth. Right now, who their white mother or white father really is. Light skin, black skin is no joke. House niggas, field niggas is no joke. Pretty soon, it's going to be too late. As far as I'm concerned, it's already too late. Too late for our...
It's not too late. Never too late. Not
just
too late.
Let me finish for our misled children. Our children are not only killing each other, they're laughing at each other, laughing at themselves. And we've been made fools of puppets. Black people, our enemy, our haters are continuing to plot and plan. God said, let them plot and plan, but that he has the master plan. We must believe this. We must keep fighting. God is good. He is great. He is still on the throne of authority. And for sure, never will God change the conditions of a people until they change it themselves with their own souls.
All my
spirit.
Phones are ringing.
All right, sister.
Thank you.
Have a nice evening.
Thank you. All the phones are ringing. All the lights
are
lit up.
Okay, have a nice day.
Thank you so much. Thank you. The phones are ringing. Y'all just keep somebody. Just hold on. We're going to get to you. I know all these phones are ringing. And so just hold on here. We're going to get to you, okay? Ed from Pittsburgh.
Hey, how you doing, sister?
I'm all right.
Hey, you're dropping knowledge for real. And you asked a pertinent question. First of all, the challenge that I see is for your thinking, my thinking, to permeate the community. The problem that I see is that people who look like you and I in key positions make horrendous decisions when it comes to our people.
Mm-hmm.
And they will not stand up. They will talk the talk to get there. But once they get there, they change the plan. They
uh-huh.
change the game.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're stuck saying, okay, we got somebody going to champion our cause. They get in a position, and then they change.
Uh-huh.
And to me, it's going to call for, there used to be a movie out where they would take, it was a comedy, but they would grab black folks who got in key positions and turn to Toms, and they would take them and give them a good butt whooping.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say what I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I think that
But they're telling me, you stay away from them black folks now. See, this is a thought all the way through history. When you get, you got to go. And we're celebrating Black Music Month this month.
Mm,
and right. You know what makes me so sad is that you remember you had a lot of black artists to look up to. And music was like a psychiatrist. They had a message. There was a message in our music. We don't have that many black folks that's hitting the charts, top 10 that's playing music. Our children do not have the image of real black music. Yeah, we look at Motown, great deal. But remember that Motown was bought out. And we don't have the Motowns. We don't have the stuff that we have. I mean, we have just, it's nothing. They just buy us out and we just gone. We just sell it out and we just gone.
But, you know, the key thing is, and I agree with you, but we got people in Chicago, here in Pittsburgh, but I was in Chicago last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here to say that we have people in key positions that are not being responsible to the community.
I think I'm agreeing with you. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you
and
are.
They don't understand that you build your community and you're known forever if you rebuild your community. But when you go and sit at the master's table, I don't care if you're a billionaire.
Right.
When it comes down to the bottom line, that's his child's seat. It's not yours.
And just in closing, I hate to cut you off.
That's all right. Go on.
If the folks in these key positions would just act properly, no one can take that away from them. We put them there, so
right.
they can't take it away. They get in that position and think, oh, geez, if I don't act a certain way, I'm going to lose out.
That's post-traumatic slavery syndrome. Post-traumatic.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's why we got to talk about slavery. And I want y'all to read Advice Among Masters. Like, you read that, then you're going to know. You're going to know exactly what it is. Minister Plump, how you doing?
Good morning, Queen Dorothy Wright Tillman. How you feel?
I'm fine. You haven't seen the play yet.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to get there.
It's our last two weekends. We are there. A Misbehaving is there today. Tonight, the doors open at 6. The show is at 7. Tomorrow, doors open at 4 on Sunday, and the show is at 5. We're only there next Friday and Saturday, and the show is gone. One of the best shows we've had.
Hallelujah. praise the Lord. I'm glad that we can reflect on black, and even black power. That's black power without the gun. Happy Black Music Month. And I just want to let you know that Mayor Harold Washington Birthday Committee, Grassroots Committee, is having a fundraising raffle. And the People's Marching Corporation at 235 East 58th Street. It's going to be a community rally and press conference and a birthday celebration for a one-year-old boy this Sunday, June the 23rd, and his name is Jayden, from 2:30 to 4:30.
Why are you celebrating the one-year-old boy birthday?
Well, because he was born on, thank you for asking, June the 23rd. We're going to be, that's Superstar Sunday, celebrating, you know, the new Michael Jacksons, the new Oprah Winfrey's, that's still grassroots, you know, in the community, and Michael Jordan's. You see, we all are 23 now because Chicago equals to 23.
Okay.
We got jobs, 23 jobs, 23 teams, and for entrepreneurs, people can
reach me at
312-671-2772.
Okay, my line is lit up. I thank you. Thank you so much. You listen to Talk of Chicago 1690 WVON. You listen to Talk of Chicago 1690 WVON. Our number is 773-591-1690. We're streaming live on www.wvon.com. We're also on iHeartRadio. Wherever you are in the country, in the world, just plug us in. I know because when I'm away, I listen to iHeartRadio. I put on my computer, www.wvon.com. We're also on Blog Talk. We're on Blog Talk and we're on Black Planet. So, y'all, you listening, and you know what I want to do? I'm going to go to sale, then I want to get ready to play Walk a Mile while folks is talking and accusing. I'm going to play Otis Clay, Walk a Mile in My Shoe. Sale, how you doing this morning?
Thank you, Dorothy. As a result of you lifting your voice, more of us are able to sing about liberty and to engage in it. You mentioned the veterans, and I came to the realization last night while over there at the rally. Saint Sebastian.
Oh yeah, Father Flagan said
Flagan,
he's gonna have where he wanted everybody to come out and be like Nehemiah, walk the streets. If our people just all of a sudden this summer sale, just hit the streets. Let's bring the black community back to life this summer. Let the kids jump rope. Just do what you want to do. Just get out there.
Dorothy.
Mm-hmm.
I had mixed emotions about that. One of the, you know, thousand of us out there, which each one was encouraging the other to be there.
But they went home.
But to go and try to do something by yourself or five people is so difficult. You mentioned the veterans, what we have done, go and liberate other people and secure their future. I'm having a problem trying to reach the veterans that I try to identify with us doing this one simple thing, and that's going in trying to clean up our community. I mean, I'm looking at us there. And I got so irritated, one, because I didn't...
I know you got irritated because they all came out to do that, but they won't come out to clean up the community. That's what you don't understand.
I asked them at a meeting last Saturday if they would join me Monday at the Finance Committee regarding this anti-littering program. Then the damn one of those Negroes say that they would be there with me. Not a one.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me just...
After you know, having another surgery last month, and each time I have a surgery... I come out just a little bit more conscientious about what it is I want to do with the rest of my life because I'm still here. And my patience with dumb mess dwindles.
Well, let me just say this. Dr. King gave the ultimate. He gave his life. And I know people who really got hurt and got messed up. I'm sitting there looking at I got scars from the civil rights movement. We gave up to fight. But we cannot. See, one thing, we have to be very patient with black people and work. I think if you get the strategy and give it to the masses, they'll come out. When I first got in office, that's what I did. I started a cleanup campaign, just cleaning up, sweeping,
right,
and doing that.
May I say this one last thing?
Uh-huh.
Mrs. Emanuel was there last night.
What Emanuel?
As
Emanuel
in Rom.
I thought it was in Israel.
No, no. But the wife, Mrs., was there. And I was wondering if she has participated in any of the school demonstrations. But she was out there.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting. I thought they were
all
there. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, let me just say this. I think that this summer, Wednesday was the last day of school for the elementary, and Monday is the last for high school.
Right.
We cannot be stressed out in our community. Now, I told you, they closed down all the clubs. Now, didn't nobody downtown close them down? They told the people in the community, don't give the redo the lookalikes, don't give this. So all the places like you would hang up today and go hang out in the pool hall or sit and have into one of our little black clubs and talk about what we need to do, there's no gathering place for our people to come and to talk about the liberation of black people, to elect a Harold Washington, to march with Dr. King, to help sell, to do all that. So all
it's not, that's not just in Chicago.
It's all over the country.
Exactly.
Right. So what I'm trying to say is that we just got to steal. I'm calling on the churches and all the people. We have got to have a, just get out in the community, let the kids jump rope, have a jump rope. Come on, y'all, double dutch. Come
may
on,
I say one
have
last
fun,
thing
you
here.
Know, get up and clean up, get up. Let's have, come on, have the block party. The church has got to do, we got to do something. You can't lay dead in the commute inside your house and your hypertension is all up, and then you go north of the river, they walking around, drink, in every other community, I don't care what little hole, they got a bar, they got this, they got that, and they're relaxing.
I want to say one last thing about this woman, Paula Dean. She needs some counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to offer me and you as two people who be willing
I'm not
to counsel.
No, I'm not willing to counsel Paula Dean. Now. You do that by yourself.
Dorothy.
No. Paula Dean don't need no counseling. She's very clear. Oh, she's probably one of the folks that's at one of the lynchings. I am not thinking about Paula. So you just lost me. Thank you so much. I'm not thinking about Paula Dean because she was very clear on what she's done. Yes, sure, she might be in her 60s, but there were some white women in their 60s like Viola Liuzzo who wasn't saying that. Viola Liuzzo was a white woman that gave up her life. I knew Viola Liuzzo. I met her. And I remember that day when she got murdered because Leroy Moulton got in the car with her. I was going to ride back to Selma with her, but my grandmother said, Dorothy Jean, you might want to stay here. You done been running around and get some rest because we all had been on Muddy House eating the greens and doing all the other stuff. So I decided to stay in Montgomery, not to go back. Leroy Moulton got in the car and went down and ride back to Selma with, I'm going to try to find Leroy, to ride back to Selma. And when Leroy was riding, they shot up the car. And they killed Viola Liuzzo. Leroy Moulton, we call him String Beans. He was so skinny, he got all the way up under the dashboard. And they missed him. And then the Freedom Truck was coming down the highway. And James Orangeham, who's blessed his rest his soul. So they said that we had a joke with Leroy. And he said, they said, what's going on? Grab him, put him in the Freedom car to take him on to Selma. And they said, Leroy said, y'all ain't going fast enough, let me out of here. But Viola Liuzzo was a Detroit woman who left her babies. And her husband did not want her to go because he wasn't on the same page with it. But she said, this is wrong. I'm going to Selma. This is after we had been beat up on Edmund Pettus Bridge. And the war of blood had flowed like a river. And she said, I'm going to help, and that's what she did, and she lost her life. And I can think of a lot of other whites who came and joined our struggle. They won the Paula Dean, so I'm not trying to make no excuses for Paula Dean. My hat's off for Viola Liuzzo. Sorry, y'all. What I want to play now is Walk a Mile in My Shoes, 773-591-1690, Otis Clay, y'all. Walk a Mile in My Shoes. Walk a Mile in My Shoes by Otis Clay.
Just 1 hour. If we could find a way,
yeah,
to get inside.
Sing, Otis.
Each other's mind.
Yeah, sing, baby.
If you could see you.
That's what we gotta do when they talk about
it.
Why they tell us to shut up.
Instead of your ego. Then you would be surprised to see that you've been blind.
Yeah, that's right. Why are they talking about it? Walk a mile in our shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Lynching. Miseducation. Being thrown in jail. Disrespect. Taking our business away. Walk a mile before you talk about us.
Before you abuse. Criticize and accuse.
Yeah.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Yeah.
Now your whole world.
Sing, Otis. Otis Clay, y'all.
Around you. It's just a reflection.
Yeah.
And the law of the karma.
Ooh.
said you're gonna reap just what you sow.